council.
Mosques that admit men only should be forced by law to allow women in. So says Robert Kilroy Silk, the MEP for the East Midlands, who's written to the Women's Minister Meg Munn, asking her to stop what he calls the unacceptable, demeaning and humiliating way that women are treated. Dr. Mohammed Nassim is chairman of the Birmingham Central Mosque. He believes that Mr. Kilroy Silk's using emotional language on an issue that he doesn't know enough about.
Well, he may mean well, but I think he's misinformed. It is not a matter of women not being allowed. It is that some people, or some schools of thought amongst the Muslims, do not believe that women are required to attend mosques. It is not an obligation on them, and that's why they don't open doors to them. So it is a view held by both males and females in that particular school of thought. So it is by mutual agreement and understanding. It's not that somebody is forcing them not to enter the mosque.
Well, Ms. Kilroy Silk's in our radio car, and here with us is Halima Hussein, who speaks for the Muslim Public Affairs Committee. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Can I just ask you, first of all, Halima Hussein, to clarify a point for us before we talk to Robert Kilroy Silk? How many mosques, in your view, do not allow women access to them? Because Dr. Mohammed Nassim has said in the past that the majority of mosques in Britain do allow women in. What's the figure according to you?
And we took part in some research at the end of last year, and we found that 60% of mosques don't allow women in. And that doesn't take into account the kind of the size of the mosques in question, but it generally is the majority.
So, Mr. Kilroy Silk, is that why you've written to Meg Munn? You think that if you have over half of mosques not allowing women in, that's wrong?
Well, if one doesn't allow them in, it's wrong, isn't it? It's unacceptable. We shouldn't be allowing this in this day and age. To not allow women into a mosque, and it's a majority of them that don't allow them, is actually saying that women are second-class citizens. It's saying they are inferior, they are unimportant, they don't count, they shouldn't be allowed to take part in the affairs of men. And it's not just that, of course, that they're not allowed to pray alongside men. And we all know that, you know, because every picture we see on our television screens every day of mosques, we never see a woman's face, do we? It's not just that they don't allow men to pray alongside women, but they actually don't allow them to participate in the running of the organisation. They're not allowed to be trustees, they're not allowed to be on the governing board or whatever. And really, why are we putting up with this? This is totally unacceptable, it's demeaning, it's humiliating, it's wrong, and it ought to be stopped.
You think the government should do something about
it? Even if there is only one mosque. Yes, of course. The government, you know, in fact, I think the European Commission ought to do something about it. This year is supposed to be the year of equality and of gender equality. They are in favour, they say explicitly, in answers to questions to me on this subject, of eliminating discrimination on the grounds of race or sex or colour or gender anywhere in the world. And here we have absolute clear discrimination on the grounds of gender.
Okay.
Do you remember the dispatches? Do you remember the dispatches film?
Well, Halima Hussein actually made it. She's here sitting with us, and
yeah.
I want to bring her in at this point and ask her.
Well,
do
ask
you agree
her about the intimidation.
Agree with Robert Kilroy Silk that it's for the government to sort this out? Because in your report, you said that you wanted women to have more access to mosques, as he's saying. But is it for the government to do that?
Well, I find myself in an odd position agreeing with Robert Kilroy Silk in that it's an issue for the Muslim community that women are excluded from mosques, and it's completely a disgrace. But I feel that, I mean, my organisation would say that it's for Muslim women, for Muslim men, and for Muslim organisations to get involved, to lobby their mosques and to see that change.
No, I'm sorry, that's wrong. That's wrong. That's wrong. We are all involved. We're all part of this community. We're all part of...
No, very well. You may well be part of this community, but it's essentially a Muslim issue, and Muslims on the ground know what's going on.
No, it's not a Muslim issue. I'm sorry.
No, you may well... Legislation could have an effect.
Hold on a minute, Mr. Kilroy Silk. Let's just hear Halima Hussein's point, and then I'll come back to you.
You may well think that legislation could have an effect. We don't want to polarise the debate. We don't want women to be forced into mosques. We want them to be given their place because it's believed that it's their rightful... it's their right within the religious text, and it's their right within Islam to enter mosques. We don't want them to be forced in because of, you know, Western kind of values being imposed on mosques. We want the Islamic rights to come forward.
And Mr. Kilroy
themselves to ask for that right.
She's not saying that it's not for all of us to feel concerned about it, if that's what we want to do, but that the way of solving it isn't by legislation. It's up to the mosques themselves and the community to put pressure on them.
Well, then we disagree, because I don't think it is, because they're not doing that. She said she didn't want Western values or Western... I'm sorry.
No, I don't mean I didn't want Western values. What I mean is we don't want it to be seen as, like, the, you know, British values being imposed onto a mosque.
Why?
No, the thing is, because it's an Islamic value that women should be entering mosques anyway.
Well,
the one thing is, we want it to come from a religious text. We want it to come from a religious doctrine that women are involved in their local mosque, because a mosque is essentially a place of religious worship.
Well, I wouldn't rely on that. I wouldn't really. If you rely on that, then you'll be waiting for centuries, because most of the religious doctrine that is practiced in the mosque in here is backward, tribal, from a medieval period.
Well, I would completely disagree with you on that aspect.
Hold on. Let him finish his point.
If we are talking about women who are being, as you saw the film that Tazim Hamid made, you saw there women being harassed, being verbally abused because they wanted entrance to mosque, being intimidated. The filming had to be stopped because the men were threatening the cameraman.
You should be
pleased that there are other people who are speaking up on your behalf in support of what you want and saying no women have to be forced to go. I don't believe in religions. I think all religions are fairy tales. I think they're evil, and I don't think Islam is one of the better ones of religion. So I don't want anybody to be forced to go to a mosque. What I do want is women to be treated equally with dignity and respect, and I don't want them to be subservient to Muslim men.
Fine. Now let me hear from Halima Hussein. You've heard those points. He's putting them very strongly. What will you and others who hear those points think? Because they reinforce your argument to a degree. Is it purely that you're disagreeing over the methods for changing?
I think it's to do with the methods. I mean, as a Muslim woman, I feel that Islam liberates me, that it allows me to take a full role in my mosque, to be a full member of society. And I want for the Islamic values to be taught to my leaders, to be taught to the community, so that we can get involved in our institutions.
But you're not required to attend mosques, are you?
No, we're not required to attend mosques, but we're certainly not banned from attending mosques. And it's certainly...
But you are banned.
No, we may be banned.
You just told us 60%.
But I'm saying, in theory, we are not banned according to text and according to scripture. And we would like for the Muslim community to be retaught and to be re-educated by those who have knowledge and by those who have knowledge of the scripture, and to explain that women have a role in the mosque, and there is no way, it's disgraceful that they're banned.
Christianity says you shouldn't discriminate against people on the basis of their colour. The fact was that people in Britain were being discriminated against on the basis of their colour. So we passed the Race Relations Act, and we said, I was a member of Parliament at the time, I voted for it in the 70s and the 80s, and we were told it didn't mean that we wanted to charge anyone or prosecute anyone. This was about setting a marker, about setting a moral climate, and that's what we need to do here. It's all right you saying Islamic values say that you should be in the mosque. Your Muslim men won't let you, and it's those Muslim men we have to educate.
Let me educate them
by imposing a law.
Okay, Ms. Kirill, so one final point to put to you, though. How far should government interfere in religious practices? Because we've seen what happened when there was the question of the Catholic Adoption Agency issue, and the government forced through change there without taking into account what the Catholic Church said were their concerns. So why should the government interfere in religious practices when it comes to Muslims?
Well, I've already said that I think all religions are fairy tales, and I think they've been the cause of a lot of evil in this world, and indeed the majority of it. However, I do believe that people ought to have their beliefs, they ought to be able to practice them in private, but their beliefs and the practice of them must not lead to a breaking of the law or the norms of our community. In that case, the government clearly has an obligation. If a religion is involved in cultural practices that are discriminatory or are wrong or are against our values and our law, then they have to be outlawed, like forced marriages or arranged marriage, like genital mutilation. All of those are cultural practices that have some archaic religious support.
We're getting
on to
other ground there. Robert Kilroy-Silk and Halima Hussein, thank you very much.
Thanks.